We're on the record, or actually, we're awake. It's it's a very interesting evening last night. House Labor and Commerce will now come to orders. Looks to be like about 9:15. April 18th, members present are Representative Josephson, Keto, Chair Olson, Representative Hughes, Representative We do have a quorum to conduct business. First item on the calendar is SB 15, life insurance policy, premium tax. Who's doing it?
Chairman, if I could do a brief introduction and let Geneva.
And I'd like to welcome a friend of many of us, Senator and former Representative John Coghill, back to the room.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us today. And you've got our undivided attention, and we'll see how fast we can get this out.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Senator Coghill and Reneva Moss, who is chief of staff to me, we've taken a look at this bill over the last year, and it's a simple. It's a simple thing that has complexities to it. There's no doubt about that. And so, and I heard a little bit of the questions last time. I'll start with the simple thing about it is it goes from a one small number, 1%, to 0.8% on the premium tax for individual life insurance policies over a certain amount. And this goes all the way back to 1997 when a predecessor of mine introduced the trust administration law establishing trusts in Alaska, which was unique. And you heard the insurance director talk about, you know, the offshore investment issues. It was really to attract into America the kind of investment that had gone in, and it's actually happened fairly well in Alaska. Around 2010, we had about $208 million investment in Alaska. Other states caught on to what we were doing, Dakotas being one, South Dakota. They also have matched some of the laws we've done. And since they have done some of their matching, we have now gone down to about $79 million invested. So this is an attempt to attract more.
I'd like to reflect we've been joined by Representative Ledoux. Welcome.
And by the way, good morning. I know you were up fairly late last night, so I stayed up watching you, but I did it with my feet up on an ottoman. So this is an attempt to keep the investment in Alaska, and I think we've done a pretty good job over the years. The accusation, and it's a legitimate something to watch, and that is a race to the bottom. But I think what we can do is increase the investments in Alaska, which gives a workforce improvement. It gives cash parked in Alaska that has real benefits, and it brings a premium tax benefit to us. If we lose volume, certainly we're going to lose the tax value. If we increase the volume, there's no doubt we'll increase the tax value to Alaska. And this is an attempt to bring it to what I would call an even with what is now the norm throughout the states, and especially with South Dakota. This is not to go below them. It's just a way of evening out where we have the same basic premium tax rate. I think we have an attractive law in our trust administration law, and I think that people will come back into Alaska. This is an attempt to do that, to have those who invest in life insurance policies and those in Alaska who would rather have their money invested in Alaska. So that's the reason I've done this. It's pretty simple. It was brought to us by the trust administrators in Alaska, thinking that they would be able to be attractive for investment in Alaska. So that's the top reason for doing it. And into the technical stuff, questions, you know as well as I do, those who get to drill down, chief of staffs, quite often are the nuts and bolts people, and I depend upon Reneva to be that. So I'd be glad to help answer any questions.
Well, actually, I believe that you or Reneva met with all the members in the last day or so, familiar with the law from, or the proposed bill from last year, so I don't think we need that. We have Lori Wang-Hire here for questions. Lori, would you join us? Thank you for joining us so early this morning.
Thank you for having me, sir. Lori Wing-Hire, the Director of the Division of Insurance. SB 15. I know we talked about this a little bit the other day. This is reducing after 100,000, the life insurance policy, after the premium exceeds 100,000, it reduces the premium tax from 0.1 to 0.08. I think in your package you have a spreadsheet that we brought, or we prepared for Senator Coghill's office, that shows the amount of tax that has been collected going back to 2005. And the tax that has been collected starts at $104,000 or $105,000, and if we reduced that particular year, it would drop down to about $84,000, so it makes a difference of about $20,000 on 112 policies. We show it for 2006 up into 2012 to show you what the difference would be in the number of policies impacted. We were also able to get a hold of South Dakota, our colleagues in South Dakota, who told us that since they dropped their tax from 0.1 to 0.08, in 2010, they had 29 companies that wrote premiums over 100 million, were 97 million in premium, and in 2014, they had 120 million in premium in 32 companies. So they did see an increase in volume. So it did seem to help their volume as far as their insurance industry. As far as Alaska, we submitted this with an indeterminate fiscal note because we couldn't say it would increase or it would decrease the revenue into the insurance. But it was somewhere our high, or was, I believe, $41,000 was for the year 2010. No, the difference would be the 2011 was $88,000, the difference between 0.1 and 0.08, and the low was the low teens. So I'm not going to say it was negligible, but it was a fairly small amount when you look at the overall budget and the overall revenue for the state of Alaska when you're looking at this industry, when we've been asked what the impact would be.
Representative Kito.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Winghire. I'm looking at the table, and I'm not sure if I've got the same spreadsheet, but I'm looking at a table that identifies 2011 and 2012 with $443,000 in revenue with 105 policies, dropping to $112,000 of revenue with 105 policies. It seems like we've got the same number of policies. So can you explain what that shift was for that significant decrease in revenue?
Through the chair, Representative Kito, can you tell me again what you have? I have 2011, so if you can.
It's in the packet, and under the less taxed at 0.1%.
Okay. You have
443,000 identified as 405 policies.
Correct.
If you go to 2012, less taxed at 1%. 112,000 for 105 policies.
Yes, I can tell you what that was. In 2011, we had two incredibly huge policies that were written in the state of Alaska. They were over $300 million in those two policies. Those are the types of policies they're hoping to attract more up here. It was somewhat of an anomaly. They were written by the Guggenheim brokerage, but we had two huge policies written up here, and that, again, it was somewhat of an anomaly, but it did drop. If you look up at the top, it shows the total life premium written of $687 million, and you can see that that itself is somewhat of an anomaly through the written premium throughout all of the spreadsheets, and that did kick up the premium that year and the tax that year.
Okay, thank you.
It truly was an anomaly in that particular year.
So does the division support this bill? I assume you do.
The division does, sir, yes.
Representative Ledoux, followed by right down the row.
Helping.
Followed by Hughes.
So I guess I'm sort of wondering, whether there may be a somewhat finite number of even potential policies out there when you're talking about the kind of, I mean, with most people, they kind of think of, okay, you buy a life insurance policy and it pays $100,000, you know, on death. You're talking about actually paying $100,000 or more premium. So I'm wondering whether there's somewhat of a finite group and whether most of this group has, like, already purchased a policy and may already be in, is it South Dakota, did you say? Wherever it is that has the 0.08. So if we're just doing it to 0.08, why would those folks move from wherever they are to here?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, I don't think there's necessarily a finite number. I think that life insurance is one tool used in retirement planning, and I think that it is, we're seeing an increase in it being used in financial planning throughout with young people that are now starting to look at their financial future. And I think that they're buying bigger policies than perhaps you and I did, or bigger policies than perhaps our parents did. And you don't have to live in Alaska to take advantage of this tax structure. This policy we could sell, or the insurance brokers or producers that are in the state could sell to people outside, but we could collect the tax.
Bob?
So are these policies necessarily, are they used for when somebody dies? Or, I mean, are there like cash values of that when you say using them for retirement planning?
Through the chair, both. They could be used as, you could receive it as a beneficiary for life estate planning purposes, or they could have a cash value that you could then draw on. It would just depend how it was structured with your broker.
Thank you.
But they're also used on occasion to cover tax death, or taxes after death on large
Representative
Hughes.
Yes, thank you. I remember hearing when we were listening to another bill, historically we had adjusted down the rate. And so here on the sheet we're showing, based on what occurred, what the difference would have been. But I'm looking ahead, and I know your fiscal note was indeterminate, but still, being that you are who you are in your position, what kind of business, and kind of a follow-up to Representative Ledoux's question, what kind of additional numbers are we talking that might come into the state because of going to the 1 to the 0.8, and what kind of revenue increase might we see from that based on historically when we did it before, and based on the market you believe that's still available and the young people moving into this type of arrangement?
Through the chair, Representative Hughes, I really don't have an answer for that. And quite honestly, Representative Olson asked me for that number when we met on, I believe it was Wednesday. We went back, and unfortunately, my financial examiner who has the data is on vacation and is out till the 22nd, because I did try to pull beyond 2000 or before 2005 when the last bill was pulled, so I could show a trend, and I was unable to get the data to show what we have seen from, let's say, 2002 to 2005 to 2005 to now, to show what the impact has been. And I do apologize, but I just don't have the capability when Rebecca is out to pull that data, to give you a spreadsheet like this going back further to show what it was when you reduced it from the 2.7 to give the 1. And as respects going to what we expect when we drop it, or if you adopt going down to 0.08, I can tell you that the agents are, they tell me that they think they will be quite successful at it, but I can't tell you how. I just can't.
Well, we'll try to move the bill while we still have a quorum.
Okay. And just so in follow-up, you're confident that this will increase revenue to the state of Alaska?
I wouldn't say I'm confident, but I would say that we have spent a lot of time with Senator Coghill's office. We've spent a lot of time with the insurance industry, and they are confident that this will help their industry.
Thank you.
So they're confident, or confident, and you're optimistic?
Yes, sir.
Okay. With that, we will open it up to public testimony. Is there anybody in the room that would care to testify on this bill? Seeing none, is there anybody online? Hearing none, public testimony is over. The bill's back before the committee for discussion. Any discussion? What are the wishes of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I move SSSB 15 version 29-LS0034/W from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Seeing or hearing no opposition, the bill will move out of committee. I'm going to be brief at ease. Back on record, we will recess to the call of the chair pending arrival of Senate Bill 107. House Labor and Commerce is now back in session. It is 1:20 p.m. We do have a quorum. We've got Representative Culver, Representative Johansson, myself, Chair Olson, Representative Hughes, Tilton, and Ledoux. Last item on the calendar today is Senate Bill 107, and presenting is Weston, I forget your last name.
Eiler, Mr. Chairman. Oh.
Please bring yourself onto the record, and can you walk us through the bill briefly? And we had the companion on this, so we've got a basic grasp on it. But thanks for joining us on short notice.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, and thank members of the committee. For the record, Weston Eiler, staff to Senator Mia Costello and the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Thank you for hearing this bill, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your staff's work in conjunction with our committee. Senate Bill 107 updates Alaska's insurance statutes to comply with national standards and maintain the accreditation of the Alaska Division of Insurance. The provisions of the bill will bring Alaska's insurance laws in line with federal law and national industry best practices. The provisions in the bill have been thoroughly vetted by the department, stakeholders, industry, and I know this committee. With your permission, Mr. Chairman, I'd actually like to defer to Director Lori Wing-Hire of the Division of Insurance that can answer technical questions regarding the provisions in the bill, as well as the importance of its passage to the Division of Insurance's accreditation.
You have the sake of time. Why don't you join him at the table, Lori, and we'll have both of you up at the same time. I think it's the truncating rule, 49.
Thank you for hearing this in this late hour. My name is Lori Wing-Hire. I'm the Director of the Division of Insurance for the State of Alaska.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the committee. Marty Hester, Deputy Director, Division of Insurance.
We are prepared to go through a sectional analysis if you would like to today or discuss any questions, whatever is the preference of the committee.
How long do you think the sectional would take you?
I can do it as quickly or as briefly. We can start. Let me start, and then you tell me.
Hit the high points.
Okay. The first part of the bill, Section 1, is dealing with risk-based capital. And this is bringing in to adopting Model Law 315 and amendments to Model Law 312. Risk-based capital is doing, again, looking at the elastic measure or looking at the solvency of the insurance company, taking into account what they're doing for underwriting, what they have for their investments, and measuring it against, it's a ratio, it's a number. And as you go through about the first six pages of the bill, it will be 2114, you're going to see references to risk-based capital plan and the measures as far as regulatory control events, mandatory control events, where we're measuring if the company is solvent or not, and when the state, the Division of Insurance, would step in for liquidation. That is the first part of the bill. Section 2 of the bill, what I would call starting out on page, it'd be my page 8, section 20 is the insurance holding company. This is making amendments to Model Law 440. In particular, what this is giving us is, as you look at holding companies as an umbrella, if you will, this is allowing us to see what the other companies are within that umbrella. Right now, we are able to see the insurance company that would be domiciled here. With the amendments, we will be able to see what the other entities are within the holding company to see if they're subsidizing each other or what the interactions are. We will be able to see their financials and see if there is a problem that would impact the insurer that is doing business in the state of Alaska. The next change is what we're going to call ORISA, and that, the insurance holding company, by the way, is the biggest part of this bill. This is going to take you up to, I believe, about section 47 of the bill. It's all of section where it would be 2122 to section 46. I was off one. So, and this is the new part. This is the risk management own risk insolvency assessment. And what this does, this is new to the state of Alaska. This, for insurers, it puts an onus on them to file a risk management report or an ORISA report with us to identify relevant risks that we have not had identified to us before, outside of a normal financial examination.
So if I can interject, this is to working off an NAIC model, so all the states are going to be in line on the this particular verbiage?
Everything in this bill, sir, is in compliance with the NAIC models.
Right.
A tiny bit of it is drafting compliance with state language, but it's all based on NAIC models. The last section of the bill is section 47. It's, again, it's amending producer agents, administration, and brokers. Page 29, we're amending by certified mail. We're amending licensees because we no longer have licensee to be insurance producers in the state. We're updating some language. I'm sorry.
Excuse me. A minute ago, you were talking about Section 46. Is that correct? Because my bill goes from Section 21 and then to Section 47, and it doesn't seem to be missing any pages. So I just, maybe I misunderstood you.
Section 24. Are you on, through the chair, we're on page 24, Section 46?
Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Got it. Thank you.
So it would be Chapter 23, Own Risk Insolvency, and that's the new, that is entirely new in this bill, or for the state of Alaska. That's an entirely new 2123. Chapter 23 is all new this with this bill, but based on the NAIC model, as the chair was saying. That takes us to Section 47, which is an update to what we already have in language for producer agents. We're updating the language because the state of Alaska did away with licensees. We are now producers, or insurance producers. We updated the language to be in compliance with the NAIC model. We updated some language back on 32, Section 49 and 50 to be in compliance with NAIC model. Section 51, it was to be in compliance with our own statute, and that is about a 5-minute summary of a 50 or 32-page bill.
That was easy. Who's got the first question for Laura? Any questions?
Sure.
Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Wingheyer, the parts that colleagues of mine were bothered by in the House companion relative to discovery and confidentiality, have those been stripped from this version?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, yes, they have. The word privilege has been removed from the bill from what was HB 164, and I believe in your documents that you have a memo that I had prepared from the Department of Law explaining what the privileges are still left in AS 2106 that would extend to the insurers so that they know that what, as will you and others know, what the confidentiality statutes are still extend to in the state?
Follow up?
Sir?
But nothing in this bill changes that or alters current law? Or, I mean, it's I appreciate that the memo's here, and I'll certainly try to look at it. Is that the best source for answering my question? I guess it is.
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, I believe it will. The concern we were led to believe was not so much with the confidentiality, but with the word privilege. And the word privilege has been removed from the bill, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, is that the Dan Dickerson memo?
Mr. Chairman, yes, it is.
Andy?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, you got it. We'll take a minute or two for everybody to take a look at it. Memorandum. April 15. I'd like the record to reflect we've been joined by Representative Kito. I might add, I believe the sponsor's office was working with Representative Klayman on this.
Mr. Chairman, again, Weston Eiler, staff to Senator Costello and the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. The comments mentioned by Representative Josephson and other members of the legislature were taken into account in producing Senate Bill 107 that addressed these issues. Yes, sir.
Page is 2106060 on.
I'll defer to somebody that reads it every day.
Through the chair, Representative, 2106060 is the statute that gives us the confidentiality. I don't know that it's in the bill itself, but it's the statute. It's the title is the director, and it tells the confidentiality that the division holds for documents that we're allowed to collect or to maybe given to us for examinations, for certificates, for the conduct or transaction of insurance in the state of Alaska.
Representative Ledoux, I think he'll have a copy of it in a minute.
So, just follow up here for a second. Where is it? I just have a second.
Certainly.
Hello. Okay. So I'm looking at 2106060 records, and I'm looking at G, where it says the director may withhold information or records for as long as the director finds the withholding is necessary to protect a person against unwarranted entry or in the public interest. Give me some examples of where something wouldn't be considered confidential under any of these, the first five, and then would be considered confidential under this catch-all, if you could.
In the new, through the chair, in the new ORSA.
Pardon me?
In the new ORSA, Chapter 23, they will be asked to predict what, they will be asked to show us mergers and acquisitions. They will be asked to give us the information on the
mergers and acquisitions, and they will not, or in a normal course of business, they will not want their competition to see what mergers and acquisitions they are going to be making. And they would ask us to keep that confidential until such merger and acquisition were made public. Would be an example of some information that we may hold public or withhold from the public that would be declared through that report.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. This is a result of AIG?
Through the Mr. Chairman, yes, it is.
American International Group. Your turn, Representative Josephson.
Well, I'm comforted somewhat by, for the record, thank you, Mr. Chairman, by paragraph 2, which suggests that there'd be a presumption of confidentiality that could be overcome.
Sorry. And paragraph 2, and for the record, I'm talking about the memo, the April 15th memo from the department to the insurance division. But, you know, like all things like this, it's complicated, and I don't know. Do we know when this might reach the floor? Do we think it'll be today or tomorrow?
Yeah, it'll be today. Tomorrow? If you would like, we could probably set up an appointment for the director to meet with the minority attorneys or your caucus.
This is what the is in our statute now. This is not changing the bill. Mm-hmm. This is currently statute.
This is definitions to the statute or defining what it...
Yes. Yeah. This is not changes to the bill or the bill is not amending the statute. This is just explaining. So if an insurer were to ask, taking what the word privilege, as was asked by or questioned by Representative Joseph and some others, what was left by taking out the word privilege. This is what remains in statute. It's not addressed in the bill or modified in the bill at all.
But I think we all feel better now because it's going to be right across today. And you'll have tonight to digest it.
Okay.
And I had talked briefly to Representative Klayman. He was familiar with most of it, but I don't think he had seen the final draft of the bill. But yeah, we're not under the gun. We're not going to go back in.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
But I would like to pass it out today.
So. Sure.
I mean, if there are issues on the floor, we'll find a way to work around them.
Thank you. I have nothing.
Any further questions? With that, I think we'll move to public testimony. Is there anybody online? Is there anybody in the room that would care to testify on this bill? Seeing none, with that, we will open and close public testimony. What are the wishes of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I move SB 107 version 29-LS0791 / E from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Is there any opposition? Seeing none, the bill moves out of committee. Adjourned.
Mr. Chairman,
would you like to get together with...